We got to jump right in while y'all are still awake. All right, take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, if you will. Will you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? We're going to read verses 28 down through 30 again. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, He also justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified. Thank you. Have a seat. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the celebration and the joy that it means to be a follower of Yours. And God, I just thank You so much that, Lord, that You have given every believer in this room the life out of darkness and into Your marvelous light. And You have given us a future and a hope in Your Son. And Lord, we look forward to and long for in each heart of every believer in this room until a day when we will no longer know the pain and the presence of sin, but we'll be delivered completely and ultimately from it. And Lord, it'll never again have any power or sway. And Lord, we look forward to that day. And right now, Lord, we're still in an earth tainted, and we're still in a body affected by sin. And so, Lord, would You use Your Word to be a comfort to us and to strengthen us and to challenge us as we walk in Your ways, Lord, knowing that all of our imperfections have been managed and dealt with by the death of Your Son and His resurrection. Let us have confidence in Him, and let us be bold to live out the truth of who we are. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we come back to Romans chapter 28, we are now looking again at these same few verses. And what I want to do today, if you'll allow and if you'll follow along with me for your good and my good and for the challenge from God's Word, what I would like to do is I would like to lay out for us a focus on a singular word in this passage. It's a word that as I studied and as I looked through this over the last 2 weeks, in fact, this past week when I preached Luke chapter 15, the Lord moved me to that because I wasn't quite ready to deliver this passage and I wasn't quite ready to address this word in particular. And so the Lord moved me over to that, and He had that burdened on my heart anyway about our church's need to continue to seek those that are lost, to continue to be the loving and kindness and we just need to be the outpouring of Jesus to the people who are around us. No matter what kind of sin that they are caught in, we don't need to be caught up in that. We need to be the outflowing of Jesus' love. So I wanted to bring that to your attention last week. But it was also in part because the Lord was still cooking this message. It was medium rare, and it is like chicken. You don't want to eat it at that rate. And so I began to work on and focus on and study down through the week. Again, the simple word at the end of verse 30, the word glorified. Now, when I come to the word glory or glorified or any version of that word, one of the things that happens in my mind is this. I say and think to myself, when I think of glory as a Christian, I have been preconditioned in my mind to think this. I think about God. When I think about glory, I think about God. And one of the things that I was so blessed to see and hear was a few years back, I was given the great privilege by God to hear a man expound on the teaching of glory. And he said something that forever impacted me. He said, glory is when God goes public with who He is and what He's like. So God has these divine attributes and all that He is, but His glory is when He lets me and you get a glimpse of what He's really like. Is that not one of the most beautiful things you've ever heard? Oh, my soul, I love that. I love it. Okay, and then I began to study, as I hope that you do, and there's themes all throughout the Bible. The glory of God is one of the great themes of the Bible. And I was reading and I was studying, particularly in the Old Testament, and I noticed kind of a central theme here of glory, but I also noticed that it showed up in two ways in particular. One was the people of Israel, God's chosen people, were called on to glorify the name of God. to bring glory to the name of God. Now, the other way that I see it show up in the Old Testament a lot was it says, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And so there is the glory appearing from God's standpoint, and then there is the people glorifying God from their standpoint. And, you know, as I studied that and looked at that, I began to think to myself, this appears to be two different things going on here. It appears to me that God would be showing himself to be one way and the people would be praising him. And then the definition that I gave you just a moment ago came back to my mind. And I realized in both cases, the same thing is happening. Because when God shows himself to his people, he is demonstrating who he is and what he's like. But people of God, when you and I praise God for who he is and what he is like, we are now demonstrating who God is and what he is like to the people around us. Yeah, y'all can wake up a little bit. I know that last song about wore y'all out, but, you know, it's okay. Now, listen, let me tell you something. Let me tell you why that's important. Why that's important and why that's a practically important thing in your life right this minute is, did your worship this morning display what you think God is truly like and what his characteristics truly are? Because you had an opportunity to just display to everybody in this room what God was like and the kind of things that he does. Now, when you evaluate your own worship in that way, well, that'll get you going, won't it? Kind of get you double checking on some of your motives. You know, it's hard to lip sync. Y'all with me? I know I watch some of y'all sing, and your timing is impeccable. The fact that no sound comes out is also noticeable. You say, well, yeah, nobody wants to hear me sing, only Jesus. Amen. He matters more than everybody else in this room, okay? Amen. Let it out. Just let it out. You say, well, all right, okay, that's good for next time. So maybe we'll give you an opportunity to sing again in a little bit. We'll throw something together next week or something. I don't know. But I got to thinking about this theme of glory of God, and I got to thinking about it and got to contemplating that if God is letting us know what he is like, isn't that just marvelous? Isn't it overwhelming to know that the God who created you and who is completely separated from us because he doesn't sin and we do, he lets us know what he is like. Now, that really got my gears to turning. That really got my mind all stirred up, and here's why. Because the end of verse 30 is referring to us being glorified. Now, I can understand the glory of God, but I could not understand, fathom, and process the glory of Martin Pinnell. He said, okay, and I hope you'll think the same way. Anybody in here, you ever thought about the fact that the Bible says that you, and in fact, in the verse 30, it uses the past tense because it's so sure to happen that God views it as having already happened. Have you thought about lately that the promise of God is that you will be glorified? All right, now, let's take our definition and walk through this word just a few minutes, would you? If I take that definition of glory or being glorified is when God reveals something of himself, when he goes public with what he's like. I want to ask you something. What's a Christian like? What is it about a Christian that is different from somebody who is not one? Amen. You've got something inside of you that a lost person does not have. What you have is the forgiveness of God and the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. Now, let me be honest with you for just a second. Though I am completely 100% saved, I don't always look like it or act like it. Thank you. I can say that in this room, knowing that every believer in this room that understands anything about God can echo that with their own amen about themselves. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to see, though. There is coming a day when this man right here is going to act out exactly who I am in Christ. Y'all got to do better than that. Come on. All right, there is coming a day when I will act out in perfection who I actually am in Christ. Amen. All right, that is, listen to me, that is what is being displayed to us when we're going to be glorified. What's going to happen is we are going to go from Romans chapter 6, where we are told you are no longer bound to sin in any way. You are totally free to live in subjection to God and get it absolutely right all the time. Romans 7 comes and just with a 2x4 with a nail in it, hits us all in the back of the head and says, yes, I am truly that, but I am living out as if I am not. Okay, you guys remember 6 and 7? I know they were about a year and a half ago, but if you remember them, they were wonderful and sweet, and they were a little bit bitter because they reminded us of our continual struggle with sin. And so when I look at that, I go, okay, 6, the reality in Christians, listen to me, in chapter 6 of Romans, your current reality is you are not bound to any sin to commit a sin ever again. Wow. How many of you want to try to make it the rest of the day without one? I'm not trying to make the rest of whatever years the Lord's given me. I just want to get through the rest of today. Listen, what I'm looking at there, and I'm looking at Romans chapter 7, at one of the greatest preachers of the gospel ever to live, Paul the Apostle, and he says in Romans chapter 7 that there is a will to do what God wants to do present in him, and yet a continuation in struggle with sin. And he gets to the point, he says, not only this, but it is no longer I who am doing it, but it is sin that is alive within me. Now that is what he's talking about. And he gets to the end of that, of chapter 7, and this is what he says. Wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this bondage or this body of death? And then he says, but thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 8 starts off this way. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news? And then he's going to build on that all throughout 8. We get all this information about the Holy Spirit all through the first part of chapter 8. We're told over and over again that the problem that we're having is we're trying to fight a spiritual battle with fleshly weapons. And you can't fight spiritual battles with temptation and struggle with fleshly weapons. You have to fight them with spiritual weapons. Well, if you got access to a bomb that can take out the entire enemy with one shot, you ought to use that. In the Christian's life, the weapon that you have that has that kind of power is the Holy Spirit of God who lives in each and every single believer. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 tell us that God has given us His Holy Spirit. Everyone who has believed, He has given us His Holy Spirit as a down payment that He's going to see salvation all the way through. So here's what I'm getting at in all this. Romans is telling us, and Paul is being used by the Holy Spirit to tell us at the end of this verse that one day you and I are going to know what it is like to live out the perfect desire that we have in Christ. One day. Hey, think with me for just a minute, believer. When was the last time that you just had to hang your head and in complete humiliation, you had to go back to your Father and you had to say, Father, I've done it again. I've sinned. And that's a heavy weight and a heavy burden. How many of you would like to be rid of that altogether today? Okay. I'm going to tell you this. There is coming a day when that will assuredly happen. You are going to one day live it out. But there are some obstacles in the way. And I'd like to give you, if I can, just a few pieces of information to help you. One of the things that is wrong with us is this old sinful body. I live in a body. My heart, my mind, my soul, however you want to break all that down, doesn't matter to me. It's all belonging to Jesus now. But what I want you to hear is this. There is in this old body a desire to live out what Jesus is in and what Jesus means to me. But this old sinful body has got some bad habits and some bad desires that still linger around in me. Y'all with me? Anybody in here have the same struggles? That's right, we do, don't we? And see, what I want you to hear this morning is one of the things that you need to look forward to and long for is that you're going to get a new body one day. A new one. I mean, I think Jeff's going to be over 6 feet tall. That's just my personal belief. I don't know. I don't know for sure. I can neither confirm nor deny, but I feel strongly that my brother Jeff's going to get to be like 6'2". And so, but listen, No, we could do it. We could talk for days and days about, oh, there'll be no more pain and no more suffering, and this is all true. But one of the things that I need you to know and understand is, like 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us, this current body is a mortal body. It is subject to corruption and to failure and to sin, but the one that I'm going to get has none of those weaknesses. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I've got to be changed. This body's got to be made different. And that's going to happen for me one day, not because I'm good, not because I'm wise, not because I spend more time in my Bible than others, not because I come to church more than other people, but simply because I have faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone for the saving of my soul, the forgiveness of my sin, and that He resurrected from the dead. And if He walked out of the grave, I will too. All right. I wish y'all would get excited like I am. Where were we? So one of the things you need to know then is you've got to have this new body. You say, okay, preacher, if I need a new body, where do I sign up? Are they down at Walmart? Are they at Kmart? Do you pick one up at Roses and Zebulun? Unfortunately, they are not available there. Here's what we're waiting on. Romans chapter 8 has already addressed this. We've looked at it in other passages as well. 1 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, and other places as well. That one day, our Lord and Savior is coming back. Did you hear me, church? Yes. Your Lord and Savior is going to return. He has promised that He will return. And how many promises has Jesus ever failed on? He's currently hovering at 100% completion rate and shows no signs of fading or failing. And so He's coming back. When He comes back, one of the things that's going to happen is the dead in Christ will be raised. That means they're going to come up out of the grave. Anybody got somebody in a grave that's a firm believer in Jesus when they died? You can't wait to see them come out of that grave. There's a day coming, folks, when they will get a new, glorified, perfect, wonderful body. But you know what else is said in those passages, in multiple passages, not just one, because we wouldn't want to just build a theology on one little small thing, but we build it on a plethora of evidence. Not only are the dead coming out of the grave with a glorious body, but those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up in the air to meet them, and in a moment, in the blinking of an eye, we will be changed from this to that. Now let me ask you, what might be the catalyst for doing such a thing? How exactly is God planning on carrying that out? Well, I'm glad you asked. 1 John chapter 3 tells us what the answer is. The answer is that when believers see Jesus for who He really is, that is such a powerful, earth-shaking experience that we go from this to that. Just like that. Isn't that something? Isn't that good? I'm going to tell you what, if that won't make you excited, there's nothing that will. Now, that is one thing. You need a new body. You can't go out and get one yourself. You got to wait. The promise has been made, though. It's a good promise. It's going to come true. So you can have confidence in the promise. But I need to give you just a little bit more information on this glorified, because I fear if I leave you here, I may let you leave and you'll go out of here thinking, well, the only chance of me doing anything that looks glorified is waiting for my new body to come. And I want you to know that that's not true today. Right this minute, right now, every believer in this room, you have the potential to begin to display that kind of glory that we're talking about in this passage. Here's what I want you to see. When you guys ever heard of a guy named Moses? Anybody in here ever heard of a guy named Moses? I'm not talking about the guy who helped coach soccer. I'm talking about the one who helped lead Israel. He was a great leader for Israel, and God called on him to go into Egypt and to lead the people out of Egypt. But one of the most spectacular moments in his life, he goes up onto the mountain to receive the law from God. And if you remember, the first time he goes up on the mountain, remember, the entire nation of Israel is in fear and trembling at the bottom of the mountain, and Moses walks up into the fire and the smoke to meet with God. He gets to the top, and God begins to spend time with him, gives him the law, and writes them on two tablets of stone. But God says, Moses, you need to go down from here because the people are down in the camp sinning. So he goes down, and if you'll remember, he gets to the bottom of the mountain, and his outrage at the sin causes him to cast the stones down, and they bust the tablets. And so he's got to go back up. And it goes back up, and it says he spends more time with God. But if you'll remember this, along about chapter 34 of Exodus, we're told that when Moses would come down from having spent time with God, that his face shone with the glory of God. So in other words, the exposure that Moses had to God in all of his glory changed the way that he looked. Now what happened, why is that important, you may ask? Well, what's important about that is Moses would go up, spend time with God, and he would come down with this face that was changed by the glory of God and deliver a message from God. And I want you to know something. That radiating glory directly affected the receptivity of the people, because when they looked at that glory, they saw that Moses had been with God. Having been with God gave more power to his words. Now let me give you a little nugget, Christian. Are you looking for your words to have more power with the lost people in your life? Spend a little more time with God. Let that glory reflect and shine off of you. You say, so I need to have a physical change in my body to be able to do that. No, 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 no. Listen, the way you're going to do it, you're going to spend time with God. And God is going to begin to manifest what you're really like. See, you think you're really like the sinner that you are. God said you have been justified, declared righteous. And if God says you're declared righteous, that's what you are. That's what you are. And I know we're still sinners, and I know we still struggle. But who we are in Christ Jesus is who we really are. And so when you begin to live that out, so in other words, when you let that shine out from you, because when you go up and you spend time with God and you begin to live that out a little bit, then that leads credence to your words. If you talk to somebody about Jesus and there is no sign in you at all of anything of Jesus, that lends no power to your words. Isn't that right? If you look just like the people that you're talking to in every facet of your life, why do they need to add Jesus to what they already have? Can I get any answers on that? And I'm not preaching at y'all. I'm preaching at y'all and me, because this is powerful and good and strong stuff. But listen, I need to finish it. I want to finish this up, but I need to give you one more little nugget before you go too far. So we are one day going to just declare with everything that we do who we really are in Christ. That takes a glorified body. Glorified body necessitates the return of Christ and seeing Jesus as he is. In the meantime, we have an opportunity, like Moses, to shine out what's in us and what God has done for us to let people see him. But ultimately, let me give you the last piece of this. All your glory, Christian, is really just reflecting the glory of Jesus. Amen. When you and I are glorified, it draws absolutely no attention to us. It draws all sorts of attention to Jesus. You want to know the difference if you're living right? That's not what I'm trying to say. If you're displaying glory that draws all attention to yourself, then you are not displaying the glory of God, because God's glory is so surpassing of our own abilities and capacities that when people see it, they have no doubt that it's not you. Amen. Have you ever had anybody say to you, "You're not who you used to be"? Amen. And you say, "And that ain't me. That's my Savior." That's glory shining out. That is who you are in Christ is now starting to show itself out. How about that, Christian? Can anybody in here get a little bit of encouragement from the fact that who you are in Christ shows itself out, and that becomes a beacon to show people who Jesus is really and what he is really like? And you know what? You know what that means? That means every single believer that is glorified is ultimately pointing to and glorifying the Son of God. Because as you are glorified, being living out who you really are, who you really are has been totally changed and brought about by Jesus alone. You didn't do anything to make yourself who you are in Christ. Amen? So if you can't take any credit, people might say, what's wrong with you? Jesus is what's wrong with me. It's changed everything about me. And so you get all excited. You get to pour that out. You get to present that. And that is all from the word glorified at the end of verse 30. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I just want to come to you right now, and I want to praise your name. God, we are sitting here today, and our hearts are stirred and moved by this simple word. And Lord, every believer in this room, I know without a shadow of a doubt, every believer in this room longs for the day when we will live out who we are truly in Christ. And all that we long for, Lord, is that as that lives out and as that pours out, that it would just shine great glory to you. In other words, it would display the greatness of who you are. As the Father, you are the one who predestined us before the foundation of the world, as Ephesians 1 tells us. You're the one who loved us with this love that is just undeniable. You have loved us always, even before you began to hang the earth and the sky. Lord, we don't understand how all that works. And Lord, it's beyond our knowledge. But we do know that that means that you have got a great love for us. We know that you have a great love, that then your Son acted in your will and he carried out your perfect plan, and that you guys had decided together, Father, and that you carried out the salvation which meant for the breaking and the bleeding of your Son, that he would die and absorb your wrath on the cross. And we praise you for that. But we praise you that he did it so perfectly, as he always does, everything perfectly. And he rose again the third day as a sign of great triumph, not just over death, but over all death, not just his, over all who would come and trust and unite themselves to you and believe. And Lord, right this minute, I'm overwhelmed, and I'm so thankful, Lord, that those who have put their faith and trust in you have been given a whole new nature, a whole new heart. We were something before, but now we're something new. And Lord, we still struggle because this old body is still laden down with sin. But God, we have a great confidence that there is coming a day when your Son will return. And when he comes, we will not be able to stay this way, but we will be in a moment changed, because we will see him as the great and glorious and wonderful one that he is. Father, I pray and I ask that for every believer in this room, Father, I pray that we would look forward to and groan for that day. And Father, I pray also that we would draw near to your presence continually, that we would come to you in prayer and in the word and in engaging with other believers, Lord, so that who you have made us to be will begin to be lived out and shined out, so that it will show others your greatness, that it will show the power of your word and the truth of it. And Lord, I pray that the effect of this will be that the believers in this room will begin to see friends and family members and neighbors and acquaintances and complete strangers begin to know that Jesus is real, and that they would come in repentance and trust by faith that your Son died for them as well. Lord, we long for that, but we long, Lord, we know that it has to begin in a work that you do in us, Lord, that you would be lifted up and draw all people to yourself. Now, as you sit here,